The following audio is the weekly message podcast from Vaughn Forest Church, Montgomery, Alabama. To learn more about Vaughn Forest Church, visit us online at vaughnforest.com.
Hey, God is alive. He's well. He's on his throne, and he's in control. And God's time is always best. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this time of interim that God has been leading us and showing us his power and showing us his glory and showing us that, you know what, he has this. It's his church. The church is his bride. He loves this church, and he has a plan for us. And I've been praying that since this is, we've been searching for a lead pastor, that God would do abundantly more than we've asked him or could even imagine, all for his glory, that he would leave us speechless. I pray that he would freak us out, and we would just stand here dumbfounded with our hands raised, and we're like, look what God did. So I'm thankful that I've had the privilege and the opportunity to be your interim pastor these last several months. It has been an honor for me to stand here and to bring God's word to you. This treasure that God has given us, that is alive, it is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It still applies to us today. Everything in this, there's life and there's hope. And we can stand on this truth. It still works. It still applies to us today. And so we're in this place not for information. We're in this place for transformation. And we're not here just to get information and say that was a good sermon. We're still here because we want God to transform us. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with who I am in Christ. There's still a lot of Jeff McFarland that needs to die, that needs to be nailed to the cross and needs to die on the cross. That we live out, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live or you who lives, but it's Christ Jesus who lives in us and through us. And so I'm glad to be here today, and this is, I guess this is my last sermon as your interim pastor. And somebody said, well, I guess you're like John the Baptist. And I said, well, I hope you don't cut my head off today. So, I like my head. I know it's a head made for radio, but I still like it. So some of you will get that tomorrow. And talking with the staff today and several weeks ago, they asked me to spend this Sunday talking about the passion of my heart. And that's what God has called me and Trudy, my wife, to do, and that is missions. I don't know if you know this, but before Trudy and I became missionaries in 2002, I was a worship leader here in town for 10 years. And my life was consumed with Sunday morning. And as a worship leader, you plan how the flow of worship, and always love to do seamless worship and have the right songs and the right key changes and all these things. And my goal was, as a worship leader, was to set the table so when the pastor came, we were ready to eat his word. We were ready to eat the word of God. And I loved it when missionaries would come to church. And I loved when a missionary would come and he would share those stories, and you'd be like, I think he might be lying. Did that really happen? And I loved hearing those missionary stories. And back in 2000, 2001, something started clicking in my heart and in Trudy's heart where we were sick and tired of hearing everybody else's stories. And I was having a conversation with God. I was praying, and I'm like, God, why don't I have a missionary story? Why don't I have these stories of the miraculous happening in my life. And the still small voice of God spoke to me and it said, those stories do not happen inside this building that we call the church. Those stories happen out in the great unknown. They happen in the darkest places of the world where we take the gospel of the living God, where we take this precious truth, this good news, and where it's the darkest, grace, God's grace shines the brightest. He said, you go out into that world and you'll have the missionary stories. And it wasn't long after that, there was a missionary at our church. His name was Roscoe Brewer. Roscoe Brewer was an older man. He had this voice. It sounded a lot like James Stewart, you know. It's like you just wanted to call him Grandpa, you know. And I love Roscoe. And he walked Trudy and I through this war, this struggle of God, do we stay home and do what makes sense? Do we stay home and do what's comfortable? Do we stay home in our comfortable little house with our comfortable little family, with our comfortable little surroundings and our stupid little dog? Do we stay home with all that? Or do we come to the edge of what makes sense and jump off the cliff into this world called missions? My pastor tried to talk me out of it. My family tried to talk me out of it. My friends tried to talk me out of it. And the only person who didn't try and talk me out of it was my Savior. It just didn't make sense because you know what? God was calling us to Calcutta, India, on the other side of the world. And you know what? We were going to be living in a Muslim village on the other side of the world. We didn't know it. While we were living in this Muslim village, the Gulf War broke out. And we got phone call after phone call after phone call of saying, you got to come home. You got to come home. If you're going to be that stupid, at least send your kids back home. Because you're going to die there. And we just had this perfect peace that the God who called us to India before the war broke out knew we needed to be there. And not a hair on our head was harmed. As a matter of fact, I still have a vivid image in my mind of the people, the Muslim people in that village crying the day we left. I'll tell you what. Since 2004 is the day that Trudy and I started our missionary organization that God called us to start. It's called TREC International. Stands for Teach, Reach, Equip, and Comfort. And we take international pastors and church planters and we just support them. We love them. We help develop livelihood projects, business for them. We develop small business where these men and these women and their families aren't dependent on American dollars for survival. We actually give them a business, and it says, hey, this is the way you support your family. This is the way you support your ministry. You know, one man in particular is a man named Amor. He lived in a bamboo hut on the side of a mountain in Nepal, and we built Amor a small business. It was like a little supply hut. Little provisional store, 10 by 10 provisional store. We haven't sent Amor a penny, not one penny, since 2005. Amor has 5 stores now. He doesn't have a bamboo hut. He has a brick home now he lives in, and he's planting churches, and he is doing the work of God. God is doing a lot of things through this missionary organization that God has entrusted to Trudy and myself. And I wanted to take just a moment and let you watch a video of what we're doing in Nepal. And we've also got some work going on in Cuba. But take a minute and watch this. Thank you.
love to see the nature and the creation that our God's made. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. But I love the people more than anything, to see the gospel work in their lives and to see how lost people hear the gospel and come to Jesus is the reason we're here. And Nepal is a hotbed for the gospel. Missions organization. It's existed since 2004, and it stands for Teach, Reach, Equip, and Comfort. So we have a fourfold model of how we do ministry, and we find pastors and church planters in the countries we're involved in, and we support them. We don't tell them how to do their ministry, but we offer evangelism training. We offer pastor training. We bring in evangelism teams to help reach the villages. We develop livelihood projects to equip them to do the work. And we also do a lot of comforting through social ministry, water filters and food and things like that.
People of the Nepal, they're burdened by the religious things like Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslims. But they, when listen to the gospel, and when they receive Jesus, it's free.
So we invite you to pray. We invite you to give. But more than anything, we invite you to go.
There's nothing like being on mission with the Lord. As a matter of fact, if we're bondservants, if our will is swallowed up in the will of Christ, that means that His purpose is our purpose. And the scripture says that Jesus came to this earth to seek and save the lost. That was His purpose. And if you're a bondservant of Christ, you are a missionary. Bottom line. And you're like, I've never been trained to be a missionary. Wrong-o. What we're here today to do. It's what we do. This is what this church is about, is to prepare us to go into this world out here, into the great unknown, to watch God do amazing things as we take this truth, this treasure, full of grace, full of truth, and show the love of Christ to hurting people. Trudy and I have seen God do some phenomenal things in the last 14, 15 years. We've seen Him do more than we ever dreamed possible. We've seen Him do so much more than when our life was consumed with just Sunday. Don't be satisfied with Sunday. Don't just be satisfied with coming and listening to the Word of God and singing songs and giving tithes and offerings and then going back to live the American dream. I'm not going to knock the American dream, okay? Let me just tell you this. As you're benefiting from living in a country like America, would you invest your life? Would you invest your resources? Would you invest your time into the kingdom, to advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what a bondservant does. Trek would be honored to carry you to Nepal, to carry you to Cuba, to carry you to parts of the world that are hard to get to. I'll be gone most of October. You won't see me around here. I'll be in Nepal. I'll be over 14,000 feet. There's a lot of people up above 14,000 feet that need to hear the gospel, because they could die any minute. There's no oxygen up there. I've been there. Just tell you, fat boys don't do real good at 14,000 feet. I need your prayers. Somebody pray and fast for me, okay? But we'd love for you to go. I can tell you the stories, but missions is totally different when you go for yourself. When you go and there is a name and a face and a story of somebody that God has used you to impact them with the gospel of Christ. Out in the lobby, we have a table set up, and Trudy and I are going to be standing out there. We would love to talk to you more about Trek, about what God's doing through our organization, give you opportunities to pray and to give towards what God's doing there. And your church, this church, our church has blessed Trek for years through its budget, and the giving of your tithes and offerings has gone to reach people with the gospel of Christ. I am not bragging on Trudy and me and our organization, but I'll just tell you, God has blessed us. We've seen over 2,000 people come to Christ in India and Nepal since we started. We've seen schools built, children's home built, livelihood businesses built. We've seen the deaf receive sight. We've seen the demon-possessed set free. We've seen the lost saved. We've seen marriages restored. We have seen God move in ways that leaves us speechless. And we invite you to go and get your own story. Whether it's Nepal, whether it's India, whether it's Cuba, whether it's Montgomery, Alabama, or it's East Side, West Side, wherever it is, don't you be satisfied with hearing somebody else's story. My prayer for us as a church is that something will start welling up within us, and it's like, I'm not satisfied with hearing somebody else's story. God, would you do something through me? Would you do something through me? So I'm praying that Tuesday morning, the people at the post office by AUM, that's where you go to get your passport. I'm praying it'd be that whole office will be filled with Vaughn Forest people saying, you know what, I don't know where God wants me to go, but I'm taking a step of faith. The first thing I'm doing, I'm getting me a passport. I'm just telling you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need a passport. I can't fly. Well, you just believe that lie from the pit of hell if you want to. I've had those people. I've had to hold a hand of a grown man on an airplane before, scared to death to fly, but go over there and see God use him and freaking turn his world upside down. Come visit us afterwards, and we'd love to talk to you. But I wanted to do one thing. I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us through God's word about missions. And this is awesome, because this verse on missions is not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. See, missions isn't a New Testament concept. It's a biblical concept. It's all through Scripture about reaching the nations. So Well, it's not going to be on the screen. I want you to just listen to this passage. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It's found in Psalm 67, okay? And it says this, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God, would you be merciful to us, and would you bless us? If God's been merciful to you, would you just slip your hand up? Where would we be without the mercy of God? Wow. If God has blessed you,
Would you just slip your hand up?
Yeah. If God's face has shone on you, if God has shown you his favor, if God has been gracious to you, would you just raise your hand? The American dream, the American way of thinking is that God is merciful to us, he has blessed us, and he has shown his face on us. He has given us his favor. It's because we are Americans. We're part of the American dream. God wants to bless us just to bless us. Because a lot of times we put ourselves at the center of salvation, and we are not at the center of salvation. Jesus is at the center of salvation. He is Lord. He is King. And he is to be glorified above all things. And this passage, it's a beautiful passage. It says, God, would you be merciful to us? Would you bless us? Would you cause your face to shine upon us? And the psalmist wasn't saying, he wasn't at the center of bless me just to bless me. This is the reason. All right? This Old Testament biblical principle, verse 2 says, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God is going to do abundantly more than we've asked or could even imagine when this is our mindset as a church. God bless us. Not so we can build bigger buildings. No, God bless us. Be merciful and gracious to us so that all people might know you. There's people in the room today that have never shared their faith. They've never shared their story of what God has done in their lives. And the majority of the time, it's out of fear or it's out of not knowing what to say. That has to stop today. Before our new pastor gets here, there's some things that need to be solved and established. There's some things that need to be taken care of that we as a church family had this Psalm 67 kind of mentality that we will do whatever it takes. God, bless me so I can bless others. God, be merciful to me to me so I can be merciful to others. God, be gracious to me so I can be gracious to others. God, bless me. God, use me so we can use and reach others. And that, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is what a bondservant looks like. I remember the first time I stood in front of you as your interim pastor, it was a real difficult situation. There was a lot of unknowns going on. There was a lot of emotion in the room. And I remember how God used his word to bring us together. And I remember we had a time at the altar and we worshiped. And we prayed, and God unified us. And you as a church family have answered the call to pray and to fast. And the reason that this church has done as well as it has done in this time of interim has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with a God who's loving and gracious and merciful, who's blessed us. And his people have said, we were going to pray and we're going to fast. And Vaughn Forrest, you are seeing firsthand what happens when we fast and when we pray as a church family. But today, September 15th, when Adam comes, is not the time to stop fasting and praying. It's the time to pick up our intensity, to fast and pray more. It's the time that, you know what, we have to be more focused, and we're not going to sit down and go, okay, the preacher's here, he's going to do everything. We got it, okay? Go get him, Adam. Yeah. No, Adam, God's called us to reach people, and I'm not real good at it, but I'll do whatever it takes to reach people because I want to be gracious and merciful because of the grace and the mercy that's been given me, lavished me. God bless us. God be merciful to us. God, let your face shine upon us, that your salvation may be known, your ways may be known among all nations. God has given Vaughn Forest, you and me, he's given us all a global ministry to reach the nations. And God can, and I believe God will. When we say, I'll be committed to it. That is when we're going to see him do abundantly more than we've asked or could even imagine, all for his glory. So I'm going to ask you to do something, okay? I'm going to ask you to stand. We don't have music playing right now, okay? I know it's sort of weird, you know, you can't stand without music, but we can stand without music. And I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. And coming to the altar might scare you to death. We're not going to get you to drink any Kool-Aid or anything like that, I promise you, okay? It's taking a step. They say, God, I want to be committed to reaching people, whether you're good at it or not. God, I don't know how this is going to flesh out, but I want to be a part of reaching people with the gospel of Christ. If you want to reach people with the gospel of Christ, you need the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. And you want to see God do abundantly more than we've asked or imagined, I'm just going to ask you to walk on down to the altar, and we're going to spend some time praying, okay? You can do that now. Amen. Amen. If you want to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. If you want to stand, if you're like me, if I get down there, I have a hard time getting back up. Right, Miss Carol? Church, can you see it? Can you see something far bigger than what we've seen in the past? I faith it, I see it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in that name that's above every name, I lift up my brothers and sisters who are at this altar, and some of them who couldn't make it to this altar. I lift them up to you, and I'm asking you to fill them right now afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, with the power to be the witnesses for you that you've called them to be and me to be. I pray they wouldn't be satisfied with going to church. I pray, Lord God, that they would want to be the church. Lord, as we live about our lives in America, don't let us get consumed with the American dream. Lord God, as we're part of that American dream, help us to realize that we're soul winners, disciple makers for Christ. And Lord, I'm asking you to do abundantly more than we've asked or could even imagine. I'm asking you, Lord God, to give us a deeper burden for the lost than we've ever had before as a church. Lord, there's some of my brothers and sisters right here who are scared. And there's the great unknown of sharing their faith, of sharing their God story. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would realize that Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And Lord, I'm just asking for some divine appointments where my brothers and my sisters and myself, Lord God, we can share of your great love. We can share of your grace and your mercy and your goodness to us, Father. And I pray that people would see Jesus in us. They would hear Jesus in our voice. And they'd long to follow the Jesus they see in us, Father. Pray we'd be your hands and your feet. And Lord, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to do abundantly more than we've asked. Do abundantly more than we can even imagine, Lord God. Lord, would you leave us speechless? I pray that those baptismal waters will never be still. I pray there will always be somebody in them, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, that you continue to unify us. And Lord, unify us. And I pray in Jesus' name that we would be bondservants, Lord God. That our will would be swallowed up in your will and our life would be about your business. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, why don't you stay down here and pray a little bit more? Charles is going to lead us in worship. We're going to sing and we'll worship the King together, okay? I love you. Hey, and our best days are ahead of us, guys. They are. God's going to freak us out. Somehow, some way, we'll get to tell our grandkids about it. Charles?